Open your Bibles, if you would, to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. John pivoted from the theme of keeping the commandments and abiding in Christ to the presence of the Spirit at the end of the previous chapter. This is how we know He abides, by the presence of His Spirit, he told us. And now that he mentions the Spirit, he tells us how to test the spirits, how to find the true Spirit of God. 1 John 4, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." This relates to the commandment of faith that we saw. Remember, this is his command, that we believe on the name of Jesus in chapter 3, verse 23, and that we love one another. So the rest of chapter 4 deals with the commandment of love, but the first six verses of chapter 4 deal with the commandment of faith. Believe in Jesus Christ come in the flesh. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, teach us, we pray tonight, to test the spirits, to see whether they're from you. Father, we praise you for your act beyond all praising of giving us your Spirit. We thank you that he is pure and peaceable and gentle and easily entreated. We praise you that he is the perfect image of you and your Son. We thank you that he is here with us tonight, listening to this sermon and applying it to our lives. Lord, we pray that you would help us to obey him. And we pray as well that this act of testing the spirits, that we would do it rightly, not in pride, but in humility, eagerly desiring to find your Spirit and to meet with him. We pray these things in the name of your Son, the one who poured out the Spirit on us. Amen. Well, some of you hate taking tests, and some of you don't mind taking tests. You might have seen in the news this week that the Cal State University Board of Regents voted to eliminate the SAT and ACT from college admission requirements for this fall and next fall. So if you don't like tests, there's good news. Tests may be on their way out. But one test that is not going to go out is this test: the need to test the spirits. It's not a complicated test. It doesn't have 55 multiple choice questions and 3 essays. It is a simple test. It is a test with one question, and that's a true-false question. Is this the Spirit of God? Or the test is phrased this way, right? This is the Holy Spirit, true or false. How do we administer this test? What can we learn from this test? These are the questions we'll ask tonight. And what we'll see is that a true believer seeks the Spirit of Jesus Christ and listens to that Spirit. The Christian seeks and listens to the Holy Spirit, not to the Spirit of Antichrist. Well, John opens with his command, telling us in general what to do with spirits. The first thing he tells us is, don't believe them. Now, many people, many of the commentators, go down to, the end of the verse. Many false prophets have gone out into the world. And they say, well, John uses the word spirits, but he's not talking about spirits per se. He's talking about human beings. He's talking about prophets, people who claim to have a spiritual insight. Now that's partially true, right? As far as this verse goes, don't believe every spirit. We could say we've never had the opportunity to believe any spirit. To my knowledge, no spirit has ever appeared to me and made any claim of any kind. I've never had some material being of light manifest itself in front of me and say, I am a spirit. You can trust me. Did you know that Jesus has a full back tattoo of his mother? Right. I've never had that experience. So is this command relevant to us? Because I'm guessing none of you have ever had a spirit manifest itself to you and make some claim to you. But yes, we know that this command is relevant to us, partially because John is talking about false prophets, people who are animated and moved by a spirit of one kind or another, but also because there are, in this world, spirits, whether you want to call it the spirit of the age, or angels and demons, or other kinds of spiritual forces at work, whether they're obvious to us or not, whether we recognize them as such or not. Clearly, if John was only talking about don't believe every spiritual teacher, he would have said that. Included, therefore, in this command to not believe every spirit is don't believe every spiritual teacher. But that's not the limit of it. He's saying don't believe just anybody, human or not. Test those spirits. Underneath the natural surface, John is telling us, there are spiritual realities, whether we know them as such or not. So the command here is simply, first of all, don't believe every spirit. In other words, just because something is spiritual doesn't mean that it's good. John is not knocking the spirituality of these spirits. He's not saying don't believe the spirits because they're not spiritual enough. That has nothing to do with it. Of course they're spiritual. But to believe a spirit because it's spiritual is like believing a used car salesman because he appears to know a lot about cars. Believing a philosopher because he appears to know a lot of big philosophy words. Or believing a historian just because he quotes a lot of sources. Right? Of course a spirit is spiritual. Of course a car salesman knows a lot of car jargon. Of course a historian deploys a lot of documents from the past. So what? The question is not, are they spiritual? The question is, are they accurate? Right. During World War II, many American and Chinese soldiers looked for a humane treatment from the Imperial Japanese Army, and then they didn't get it when they were taken prisoners of war. Were the Japanese somehow less human than the Chinese and American people they were fighting? Of course not. Right? Japanese officers were every bit as human as their prisoners of war. But the question is not, are they human? But what kind of human are they? And so it is here. The question is not, is it a spirit? But rather, what kind of spirit is it? As John Stott quipped on this passage, in this case, the mark of the Christian is unbelief. So we're trying to figure out what kind of spirit this is. You might have heard, as I have, certain teachers recommended on the basis that they are very spiritual. Or certain teachings recommended because they're very spiritual. Certain experiences, right? Oh, I went on this 3-day retreat, and it was the most spiritual experience of my life. John isn't denying that these things are spiritual. But he's saying that means nothing. Who cares that it was spiritual? Don't test the spirits for their spirituality. Test them for their truth. Don't believe a spirit because it's a spirit. Don't believe a spiritual person, place, or idea because it's a spiritual person, place, or idea. Rather, figure out what spirit it is that is in the person, the place, or the idea. That's the command here with testing the spirits. Now, why do we need to test them? John gives us this reason. Here's why you have to test the spirits according to their origin. Are they of God? You have to test them because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now, this is an interesting statement because he doesn't say where they went out from. Right, we've all heard of the girl who moved to Los Angeles to make it big. Well, where'd she come from? Well, that's not mentioned, just that she went to Los Angeles. And so it is here. We don't know where these false prophets came from. Their point of origin is not mentioned, only their destination. They have gone out into the world. But clearly they've exited something. And I think in context, the only thing we can say they exited is the church. These false prophets went out, and I think that they're the same people as the ones he mentioned in chapter 2. They went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would have continued with us. Many false prophets went out. They exited the church, and they entered the world. So who is John talking about when he says these false prophets, they've gone out, and now they're in the world? The commentators spend a lot of time debating the question of whether these are the ones that charismatic circles in the church identify as prophets. And of course, that could have been in the first century, and it certainly is in the contemporary church. There are some who are identified by their church as prophets. They have the ability to tell us revelations about the future. Is this primarily who John is warning about? Now, I don't think so. He is warning about those people. He's warning about everyone who has a spiritual experience to tout. But specifically, he's warning about those who went into the world and found their audience there. Right? Skip down to verse 5. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. What's the characteristic of these folks? They find a ready audience in the world. Now, that's usually not true of those within the charismatic sectors of the church who are called prophets. Better than the word prophet for us to understand this text in would be the word pundit. They are people who speak and have an audience within the world. The world hears them. There's a sector of the non-believing world that listens to these pundits and agrees with what they have to say. So the false prophets that John particularly has in view here are people who grew up in the church, who have some kind of churchly background, and who went out of the church and into the world because the stage was bigger and the ticket revenues were better. These are the kind of people that make it necessary to test the spirits. So if somebody, our guard should instantly be up, in other words, against a pundit who has an audience in the world and who left the church in order to get that audience. Now, I think we all already knew that. Somebody along the lines of Rob Bell, who used to be a pastor and now does a comedy show in West Hollywood. Okay, yeah. Already, when I hear that he does a comedy show in Hollywood instead of pastoring a church, my opinion of his value as a Christian leader and guide kind of sinks through the floor. Then John's talking especially about people like that. Right, we can name another one. Joshua Harris used to be a pastor, now works in sales and marketing. Similar thing. Exited the church, entered the world, has an audience in the world who listens to him. Well, John is saying, as you test the spirits, this is the number one group to watch out for. And of course, we all already knew that. That this was the number one group to watch out for. Beware of apostates who have left the church and entered the world. But he tells us that there's more to it than that. Right? Don't just look at whether this pundit has a worldly audience and has left the church. You also need to listen to what he says. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. So what is this test? It's a true-false test. Is this Spirit of God? Yes or no? Well, how do we know? If it's from God, he confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh. Every spiritual teacher, every spiritual place, every spiritual entity falls into one of these two categories. Either from God or not from God. Either true or false. Just because it's spiritual, who cares? Is it from God? Is it not from God? So the true spirit, what does he do? He confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Now this is not the same thing as saying some people, some fundamental evangelical Christians, or some sorts of Christians believe that the Son of God came in the flesh. That's not confessing Christ come in the flesh. To confess it is to affirm it, to say, some people believe it, and I believe it too. Right? A confession of faith is not primarily about what those people believe. It's about what I believe. I confess this. I say, yes, I believe it. And so it is here. The true spirit confesses that Christ came in the flesh. So he confesses that Jesus, the historical man, Jesus of Nazareth, is the anointed one of God, and that he came in the flesh as a human being. Now we could say right away, well, what about the Mormons? They say that after a fashion. Now, John is not trying to give us the ultimate formula that no heretic could ever confess. He's saying, look at the substance of this formula, probe it, probe the confession of the Spirit, and see if it agrees. Right? It doesn't take much digging to discover that the Mormons don't believe that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Not in the same sense that the church historically affirms it. So that's the true spirit. The true spirit not only says it, but believes it. That Jesus is God's anointed, come in the flesh. The false spirit, on the other hand, does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He doesn't necessarily deny it. He might just give it the silent treatment. If the Spirit doesn't affirm its belief in Jesus as the Son of God come in the flesh, it's a false spirit. In other words, what can we say? Lying spirits are about anything and everything except Jesus Christ. That's how you know the false spirit. It doesn't confess Christ. It doesn't talk about him. It doesn't affirm him. If you're like me, you've seen many spiritual places, people, retreats, teachings, etc., advertised. And what all of these things have in common is that they are not about Christ. They're spiritual, sure, absolutely. But they are not Christian because they aren't all about Jesus. So how do we test the spirits? We listen to what they say. Do they positively assert Jesus Christ has come in the flesh? Is that the theme and burden of their teaching? Now, this could be a pundit. This could be somebody taking the name prophet. This could just be your next door neighbor or fellow pew sitter. Anybody, it could be a spirit manifesting itself out of thin air, right? Or anything in between. But we test by listening and saying, is this spirit teaching me to confess Christ? That's what the Holy Spirit does. And if this spirit is not teaching me to say, I believe in Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God and the Son of Mary, anointed by His Father to save the world, then it's not the Holy Spirit. So don't just listen to what they say, listen to what they don't say. How do we evaluate the spiritual world? By what it says about Jesus. And if it doesn't mention Jesus, then we can safely write it off as from the lying spirit. We're not knocking the spirituality of these things. It's very important to realize that. And John is not saying, oh, that monastery is not a spiritual place. That teacher is not a spiritual teacher. That doctrine is not a spiritual doctrine. Of course it's spiritual, but spiritual is not the same thing as good. Now, Paul uses the adjective spiritual oftentimes to mean driven by the Holy Spirit. And insofar as somebody is driven by the Holy Spirit, of course that's good. But John is pointing out there are many spirits. And not all of them are the Holy Spirit. There are many spiritual places, many spiritual objects, many spiritual gurus. And they can be far more spiritual than your typical Christian or your typical church or your typical pastor. But that's not important. What's important is whether they talk about Jesus Christ. If they don't talk about Him, that's the spirit of the Antichrist. If they're about anything and everything except Jesus, they are the lying spiritual, the lying spirit. When you find something purportedly spiritual, listen to what it says about Jesus. And if you don't hear anything, or if what you hear is false, reject it. Test everything. Hold fast only what is good. If you hear a teacher, if you hear a church, if you hear a spiritual thing or person insisting on the biblical truth that Jesus is the Son of God, anointed to save the world, come in the flesh, then believe that spirit. That's the true spirit. But if you don't hear that, run. That spirit is the false spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, teach us to test the spirits. Help us not to look for spirituality as the criterion, but rather to look for truth or falsity as the criterion. Father, we praise You for Your Spirit and for all that He is and says and does. Lord, we ask that we might grow the fruit of the Spirit in our lives more and more each week. Help us, deliver us from the lying spirits, deliver our family and our friends from the lying spirits. Help us all to listen only to Your Holy Spirit. We pray these things in the name of our risen Lord, Jesus the Messiah. And God's people said, Amen.